Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, it's time once again for that amazing show here on the internet called Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon. Yes, and I am quite the curmudgeon today because it seems to be Pick on Dr. Bill Day. I don't know what it is, but somehow people just always want to correct me. You know, Dark Moon, our local gentleman that likes to correct the doctor when he makes bonehead mistakes, he's not the only one. There are many out there, and in fact, I got an email this morning. Yes, this morning. This, by the way, is, of course, November the 16th. November the 18th. See, I'm already wrong. We're not even a few minutes into the podcast, and I'm wrong already. What is it? Anyway, the 18th, a Saturday. Why did I think it was the 16th? I must be in another time warp. Oh, well. Anyway, the 18th. And it's actually early on the 18th as I record this, as I've mentioned before. This is just one of those interesting things about podcasting. It's not live. Not even almost live. It's actually recorded. But at any rate, the point is, you thought I forgot what the point was, didn't you? I tricked you. Anyway, point is, it is podcast number 63 for the 18th of November of the year of our Lord 2006. So there you go. Now, back to the correction. You see, sometimes as I'm talking, which of course I am wont to do, I'm talking along and I make statements that are just, oh, they're just done to be silly and to be funny, and people like that. I've had people write me and say, yo, Doc, you're really funny. And so I assumed that that's a good thing. Well, I made a statement as I was being silly one day and said something about the term alliteration or alliterative remarks. And this gentleman chose to write me. And so I'll share it with you. His name is Sean, and I'll let him explain it in the email that he sent me. Let me read it to you. Hi, Dr. Bill. I was listening to your recent podcast, Commander Curmudgeon number 62. That's the last one. It was the first time I'd listened to you. See, I've got people that listen. They start joining us all the time. So, hi, folks. Anyway, he says, I am an Australian curmudgeon living in Jakarta, Indonesia, and this very weekend your beloved leader is paying us a visit. Salute! After adjusting to your accent, what accent? Do I have an accent? I don't know that I have an accent. Anyway, maybe a little one. he says, after adjusting to your accent, I enjoyed your podcast, but I have one slight criticism. Oh, really? So does everyone else. Anyway, I'll keep reading. It concerns your reference to lame name as alliterative. This is not an example of alliteration, which is repetition of the same consonant at the beginning of words. With lame name, we have an example of a plain old rhyme. Here's a little ditty to help you remember the finer points of grammar. Here we go. In your great and glorious nation, there has been abuse of alliteration, and all Americans must have the will to grumble about the grammar of Dr. Bill. Very good, Sean. You get the brownie point for this week for correcting the doctor. This seems to be a new worldwide sport. I mean, he's in Indonesia. And he's writing me to correct me over the term alliteration. I must say, you learn something every day. My dad used to say, when you quit learning, you're dead. Yep. Okay, let's move on. We're, of course, here at Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network.
This show is a proud member of the TechPodcast.com network. Find out more about this show and others at www.techpodcast.com. Tech Podcast. If it's tech, it's here.
If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, because we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network. Now, of course, being a member of the Tech Podcast Network, I want to encourage you to go to techpodcast.com and listen to other excellent podcasts that are members of the Tech Podcast Network. And to do that, we cross-promote one another. It's kind of like cross-pollination of plants, but let's not go there. Anyway, let's listen to a promo for the Root Smart Podcast.
Do you have more than one operating system at home? Or do you have a Windows box and you really want to get Linux running? Maybe you're thinking of coming over to the light side and want to try your hand at OS X. Well, we have the perfect podcast for you. It's called the RootSmart.com Tech Podcast, and you can find it at RootSmart.com. It's that easy. We cover Windows, Linux, and Mac. With how-tos, tips and tricks, and interviews with leaders in the tech world, what more could you want?
Root Smart. Yes. See, Root, of course, being the administrative account of the operating system, and Smart being that which is the stuff between your ears, your brain. So, your brain on Linux, for instance, would be smart. Yeah. Anyway, we have some geek culture for you this week. You, of course, knew that I had to find something. This is a very, very strange video that I want to share with you. And, of course, being a podcast, an audio podcast, I can't share the video with you, except, of course, through a link in the show notes, which I will provide at the end of this podcast for you to click on and watch the video. I'd encourage you to watch the video because the weirdness of the video is best expressed in the video itself. Yeah. However, the audio is weird too. So, okay. This is actually part of a net neutrality message. And, of course, we've talked about net neutrality here on the podcast. That is where the evil corporate minions are trying to take over the internet and break it into two parts. One for the haves that will pay them huge amounts of confiscatory amounts of money. And two, the dirt road backside of the universe of the internet, which would be the ones that the rest of us would be on, which would be much slower. This is bad, okay? This is basically bad. A bad idea by the evil corporate minions of them. You say, who are them? Them are. Now, don't correct me on that one. I meant to use bad grammar, okay? Yeesh. Anyway, they are them that are talked about when people say they are trying to do this and that and the other thing. We don't know quite who they are, but whoever they are, they're very, very powerful. Da-da-dum. Anyway, this is a video called We Are the Web, and it's one of those viral videos that are going across the internet, and people are watching and going, wonder why they did that, Mabel. I'm not sure, but
wake up, everybody.
Here it is.
Stop sleeping. They want to charge more. Big companies are creeping into our internet. Internet's in distress. Let's answer the SOS. I'm the internet. You're the internet. We're the internet. Now that's the internet. I like the internet. We love the internet. And I can prove it.
Some net fairy dust made me who I am. Living in an online never land. The web's my playground, no suits allowed. Internet celebrities, let's sing it proud.
I'm the internet, you're the internet, we're the internet, now that's the internet. I like the internet, we love the internet, and I can prove it. I'm the internet, you're the internet, we're the internet, now that's the internet. I like the internet, we love the internet, and I can prove it.
It's not my tights that cut off circulation. Big business wants to control the net nation. What you can see, how much you should pay. Tell me, is this the democratic way?
I'm the internet, you're the internet, we're the internet, now that's the internet. I like the internet, we love the internet, and I can prove it. I'm the internet, you're the internet, we're the internet, now that's the internet. I like the internet, we love the internet, and I can prove it.
Wake up everybody, stop sleeping, they wanna charge more, big companies are creeping into our internet. Internet's in distress, let's answer the SOS. Keep it free and keep it open. Speak up or our World Wide Web will be broken.
I'm the internet, you're the internet, we're the internet, now that's the internet. I like the internet, we love the internet, and I can prove it.
I'm the internet, you're the internet, we're the internet, now that's the internet. I like the internet, we love the internet, and I can prove it. I'm the internet, you're the internet, we're the internet, now that's the internet. I like the internet, we love the internet, and I can prove it. I'm the internet, you're the internet, we're the internet, now that's the internet. I like the internet.
Yeah, there you go. We are the internet. Very strange video. I even like, it's got the dancing baby at the end, you know, the official internet dancing baby. Yeah. Strange stuff, but that's geek culture for you. So, click on the link in the show notes and enjoy the geekiness of it all. Alrighty, let's go to that fabulous blog, Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon, the blog, which is, of course, at thecomputercurmudgeon.com, thecomputercurmudgeon.com. If you want to go there, then you can read it before I tell you about it. Pretty cool stuff. Alright. Let's look at the first entry that I blogged about this past week. I can't tell you what I'm going to blog about next week because it hasn't occurred yet. It's another one of those time shift things. Okay, anyway, last week, release dates and info on Feisty Phone Ubuntu. Feisty Phone. You know, the last one was Edgy Eft. Feisty Phone. There's some very strange names out there in Ubuntu land. But at any rate, it's a very cool release of Linux, and it's coming. And this time, Mark Shuttleworth says, quote, "The main themes for development in this release will be improvements to hardware support in the laptop, desktop, and high-end server market, and an aggressive adoption of emerging desktop technologies." Sounds interesting. He goes on to say, Ubuntu's Feisty release will put the spotlight on multimedia enablement and desktop effects. We expect this to be a very gratifying release for both users and developers. Edgy has been a wild ride with some remarkable achievements. Nothing like reinventing and substantially improving on init. Feisty will be a little more focused on features that are visible. I misspoke. That are very visible to end users. One would not to misquote Mark Shuttleworth. That would be bad. Okay, sorry about that, Mark. Anyway, what he's talking about here is that in the next release, Feisty Phone, we're going to see things that we, the end users, will see and enjoy, and if it's multimedia, probably look really cool. Maybe in response to the fact that Vista's gone to manufacturing? Maybe, yeah. That Arrow interface, you know? He's probably thinking, we've got to make it look cooler. Hey, Mark, come here. Come close to the doctor. Let me tell you a secret, okay? Just between you and me. Get rid of the yucky brown. That will help a lot. Okay, here we go. Next item. Sun releases Java to open source. I love this because they've been talking about it a long time. They've been dangling it out there in front of us for a long time, and finally they've done it. They've released all of Java under the GPL. That, of course, is the new public license. New spelled in, or excuse me, GNU. I said in because the G is silent in new. This is not getting started as a good week for accuracy for the doctor, but at least I'm catching my own mistakes, and therefore you don't have to, okay? All right. So they released Java to open source on November 13th. They released all versions of Java Standard, Enterprise, and Micro Edition under the new GPL, General Public License. Oh, so it's not even the new public license, it's the General Public License? Okay, let's mark that down as another mistake for those of you that are keeping track. Can you tell I'm a little down this week? Because people keep correcting me. Oh, but I'll get over it. Okay, next item. An air guitar shirt. A shirt. See, that's kind of one of those, you know, modern music things that I just pulled a riff off of there. Anyway, air guitar shirt. I want one of those. I really do. Because then I could stand here, well, sit here, actually, and play air guitar. That's my imitation of an air guitar. Which you couldn't see because this isn't a video podcast yet. Letting slip a small secret about what may be coming. Anyway, air guitar shirt. I could get into that. Oh, yes, I could. That would be so awesome. Anyway, so it's from Australia, which is cool. I like the dudes down under. And they've come up with an air guitar shirt, which basically indicates that they're kind of bored and have a lot of time on their hands, yet they come up with creative, cool things when they do. Pretty neat. So, expect there to be air guitar shirts available soon at your nearest, oh, I don't know, Walmart, maybe. Anyway, I think that's just awesome. Next item, which I also think is pretty awesome, Microsoft. Ooh, they did it again. They're so big these days, so mega huge as a corporation that one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. And so they came out with this really amazing, cool iPod knockoff device called the Zune, which I understand in some cultures the term Zune is an unmentionable word. And if you are in the culture where that word is unmentionable, I'm sorry that I said Zune, but you see that word in this case is referring to a Microsoft product that has just been released, not whatever it means in another culture. Okay. Because this is a family-friendly podcast. We love families. I love my family. I have a lovely wife, Belinda, and my son, Benjamin, and they're all geeky. Yes, Belinda was a manager of a database group in a major international corporation, so she's pretty geeky. And my son Benjamin, hey, he's 14 years old. Dr. Bill is his father. What do you figure, right? He's like super geek, okay? I mean, he has his own website called GameMasters.biz. And that's because GameMasters.everything else was taken, so we got GameMasters.biz, and he does a lot of game-type stuff there. He's really kind of into gaming. So, matter of fact, he has a lot of boards, you know, the bulletin boards that are available on the internet. And, oh, in my day, you know, boards, you go on a board, you say, hi, how's it going? I got a question, here's an answer. You know, we just talk to each other, kind of low-key, mundane, flame wars once in a while to keep things interesting, avatars to kind of, you know, express our individuality and so forth, but not the next generation. No, they've come up with a way to play games online with boards. They have elaborate stories, and they have things where you have to audition in order to get a character, and he's really into Naruto and Mega Man and all these things, and he's got all these boards where they play games with each other on the boards. GameMasters.biz. Check it out. You'll probably have to petition the Game Master himself, that's my son Benjamin, to get on the board and audition for the right to play in the bulletin board. Play in a bulletin board. That's just so bizarre. But at any rate, that's what he does, among many other things. So, I was talking about Zoom. And again, as I say, meaning that in the Microsoft sense. So, Zoom is incompatible, we find out this week, with Windows Vista. So, here's one hand of the giant mega corporation Microsoft, which of course owns the planet, saying, look, we're releasing Vista. And on the other hand, way over somewhere else where they don't talk to each other, they're releasing the Zoom, and they are incompatible. I love it. I really, really love it. Microsoft. They just keep after it, don't they? Anyway, the Geek Software of the Week. We should have drum rolls. I haven't gotten a drum roll yet. What's wrong with me? Why haven't I gone out and found a drum roll sound? Maybe I could get the vast listenership of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon to help me find a drum roll sound. Maybe one of those with the flourish at the end. You know, that would be really cool. So, let me know where there's a drum roll sound, and I'll incorporate it into the podcast, and you'll be able to say, dude, I supplied that to the doctor, man. Okay, so, this week's Geek Software of the Week, Vibe Streamer. Oh, this is so cool. I really enjoyed playing with this. This was a lot of fun. And, between you and me, it really rocks. Okay, and I'm talking in the sense of rocking, as in the music rock, because what you do is you set up a server machine. Now, it doesn't have to be server class. It doesn't have to be like, oh, you know, Windows Server 2003 or the Longhorn server that's still in beta or, you know, whatever. It doesn't have to be that kind of server. It can be just a plain old XP machine. A little horsepower would help, but that's okay. Install the Vibe Streamer server software on that machine, and it offers up a website page that you can log into, even has security built in, and wherever you happen to be on the internet, if you set it up correctly, you can click on a list, a playlist that you create of songs, MP3 songs, and it will stream them to you so that you can listen to your music anywhere you happen to be. Now, this is cool on several levels. For instance, let's say that you had one server in your home, and then you had internet connectivity all throughout your abode, which, of course, I do. So, and it's wireless, of course, in my case. So here I am sitting with my laptop wirelessly connected through my entire network. And I think, ooh, you know, I'd like to hear Weird Al all about the Pentiums. And so I go out to the webpage, I find that entry, and I click on it, and I'm listening to Weird Al. And it's playing from a machine otherwise located elsewhere in the home. Pretty cool stuff. Now you say, why is that pretty cool stuff? Because I only have to have the Weird Al song in one location. I don't have to put it on every single machine that I happen to be sitting at just because I want to hear all about the Pentiums, which I actually listen to quite a bit. I'm just that way. Anyway, the thing is, I can save this space by putting my entire entire MP3 collection where I can get to it anywhere. Now, if I take it to the next step and I open up the port in my firewall so that VibeStreamer can go out across the internet, and then wherever I happen to be, maybe at work, whatever, a friend's house, I can go and log in, remember security, log into it, play it wherever I happen to be. So now I'm reaching out across the world with my MP3s. Now, you might say, well, Dr. Bill, doesn't that mean that you could stream it out to anyone anywhere, thus violating the copyright? Okay, hold on. Before anybody calls the RIAA, remember the security aspect. See, you log in, right? So that means you can restrict it so that nobody else can listen to your MP3s but you. So, RIAA, I am only listening to the things that I have paid for. Totally legal. So, Geek Software of the Week, VibeStreamer. Free MP3 streaming server. Easy to install. It's Windows, dude. I mean, it's so easy. Share unlimited files and directories. Full support for Windows NT 2000, XP, and 2003. Protect your directories with user accounts and groups. Easily manage your users, groups, and access rights. Restrict access to your server based on the client's IP address for better security. So let's say, oh, you did want to share it to a machine elsewhere on the internet. You'd have to have their IP address in the database. Unlimited skin possibilities. Create your own or download new skins as they appear on their website, the VibeStreamer website, which, by the way, is, of course, VibeStreamer.com. So, and it's free. Even though it's .com commercial, it's still free. I love it. And here's a rumor. Rumor alert. He's talking about porting it to Linux. Dude! Score! Okay, cool. So, go out and download VibeStreamer. Try it. You will like it. It's very cool. And being Windowsy, you run setup. No brainer. Okay, next item. This item is one of those annoying items that has to do with spam. Spam, 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 spam. Okay, never mind. Monty Python fans untie. Little in joke there. At work, we have a couple of people that are, shall we say, strange. And they have these little things outside their offices. You see, everybody at work have these little things outside their offices. They're kind of whiteboards, I think, I guess you'd call them, and they use a grease pencil on them, you know, that kind of thing, or those markers that don't actually permanently mark, but if you use a permanent marker, it'll actually permanently mark, and it'll be really bad, so you don't want to do that. So, they're outside, on the outside of their door. The idea being that they can say, I'm not in today, or they can say, I'll be back at 1 o'clock, or they can say, I'm out to lunch. These folks are truly out to lunch. Okay? Definitely. Larry and Stephanie. Hi, Larry and Stephanie. I know you don't listen to the podcast, so I can say hi, Larry and Stephanie, you bunch of strange, weird database people, you. Anyway, they have this little thing outside their door, and they share an office. See, it's one of those shared office things. Well, anyway, they're in the office, and they come out, and every once in a while they get this brainstorm. Let's put something really goofy on our board. Whiteboard, I don't know what you want to call it. Anyway, that thing that they have outside their office. And so, I walked by there just yesterday, and I saw that they had on the board, Bad Spellers of the World, and then below it in large letters, Untie, UNTIE. I get it. Yeah. Okay, anyway, so that was an in-joke. So in a joke that I had to explain it to you in such detail that I lost track of where I was going. Oh, no, yes, I know. It was the next item, which is about spam. That's why I was singing the spam song. Spam, spam, spam. Okay, I gotta quit doing that. I really like the spam song. because it's so odd. Anyway, I'm composing myself. Let's take deep cleansing breaths. Air is just so air-ish. Yes. Okay, Russian spam bump. That's the headline. I was feeling very brief when I wrote this. You know how you just use brevity in certain occasions? Russian spam bump. There you go. The reason is, I have noticed, personally, me, the doctor, I've noticed there's been a lot more spam lately. It comes into my inbox and floods it. And of course, because I use Thunderbird and it has been trained with artificial intelligence to recognize spam, it goes blip, 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 blip as soon as it comes in. But it comes in and goes blip, 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 blip. And I'm going, what is up with all this spam? Dude. So, I went out on the internet, and I'm doing my normal scouring through the news to find things to blog about, and lo and behold, here's an article which I actually found at eweek.com, which I subscribe to also, by the way, and here's what they said. The recent surge in email spam hawking penny stocks and penis enlargement pills, right, is the handiwork of Russian hackers running a botnet. Now, let's stop for a moment and talk about what a botnet is. That, you see, is initiated by software that they have written, these evil folks out there have written, to go out and infect your system. Oh, when you hit a web page maybe that they've set up, or you click on an attachment, all of the things that you shouldn't be doing, okay? Do the right thing. Speaking of doing the right thing, see, we're starting to digress again. We're jumping down from one topic to the other, but I'll work my way back. Don't worry. Go to this web address. Write this down. Do you have a pencil and paper handy? If you don't, pause the podcast for a moment and go get a pencil and paper, because I'm about to give you a URL, Universal Resource Locator, in order for you to check something out. Oh, I'll just wait a moment. Actually, I don't have to wait a moment, do I? Because you paused, so now you're back, and I don't have to... That's just so cool. I like that about podcasting. Anyway, here's the address. www, that stands for World Wide Web, .drbillbailey.net. Now, that's D-R for the doctor part, B-I-L-L-B-A-I-L-E-Y... Don't leave the E out of Bailey. It annoys me, okay? DrBillBailey.net, okay? That's my corporate website. As opposed to Dr. Bill, the computer convention, which is just thecomputerconvention.com. But at any rate, DrBillBailey.net/, that's the slash that says that there's a page coming next that I'm specifying, /safe, S-A-F-E, .html, which stands for Hypertext Markup Language, HTML. Isn't that cute how that works? Anyway, go to that page, safe.html, and it contains an article that I wrote a long time ago on how to be safe on the internet. Okay? Do that, and do what it says. Now, we're going to go back up a level from this digression. And we're back, and now I can talk about the fact that botnets, see, I didn't lose the track, did I? Botnets, you see, are caused by people clicking on the attachment, which they shouldn't do if they were doing what was in the safe document, or perhaps going to a bad web page out there on the evil side of the internet, and then they get infected with this little piece of software, and that software turns your machine, your precious personal computer, into one of their botnet evil spam spreading computers, and your computer starts spreading spam throughout the internet. Your own beloved personal computer has been taken over. These people are evil. Evil, I tell you. Anyway, so they have hijacked thousands, 70,000 peer-to-peer botnet computers, and they're spreading this evil spam throughout the internet. Now, according to Joe Stewart, senior research security researcher at SecureWorks in Atlanta, the gang functions with a level of sophistication rarely seen in the hacking world. For starters, a Trojan comes with its own antivirus scanner. What? A pirated copy of Kaspersky's security software that removes competing malware files. Now get this. It removes files from other spammers so that they, the spammers, can spam other people rather than using the spam junk that was already on the machine spamming people for other people. That's just weird. It's strange. It's odd. And it's, as they say, sophisticated. So, it removes the bad files from other spammers and puts their bad files in its place. Once a Windows machine is infected, it becomes a peer in a peer-to-peer botnet controlled by a central server. If the control server is disabled by botnet hunters, the spammer simply has to control a single peer to retain control of all the bots and send instructions on the location of a new control server. It's insidious. So, here's what I propose for this week. First of all, go read my article on being safe on the internet. It's somewhat humorous. I think you'll enjoy it. And then do what it says. But here's the really key thing, and I shouldn't need to tell you this, but I will tell you, okay? Because I'm your friendly doctor, and I have an internet prescription for you. Whatever you do, don't buy anything from anything you've gotten as an unsolicited email. I don't care if it's an unsolicited email from a real business that sent you email that you did not ask for. Do not respond. Do not buy whatever it is they're trying to sell. I mean, we really don't need enlargement pills, okay? Or penny stocks. I mean, hey, I just got an email message. Look at that. Dr. Bill got an email message. Oh, just hold on a minute. I'll go check on it. It's from Scott Redman. Huh, what do you know? Scott is asking for a prescription. See, this is what you call live on the air, mainly because I didn't turn off my email notification before I did the podcast. And he says, okay, let's see, I have a feed. That's cute. Hey, Scott, he sent me another email. Two in a row. And it's the same email. Scott, you sent send twice, apparently. Oh, I see what it is. Okay. See, what he did, here's what Scott did. He sent an email to Dr. Bill at thecomputercurmudgeon.com, and he sent an email to Dr. Bill at drbillbailey.net, which is my corporate website that I mentioned earlier. And, of course, they're the same email address. I just happen to have my own web servers, and so all my domains, my many domains, the account on my Linux server called Dr. Bill can have many domain extensions, and depending on which one I happen to use, that's the way it goes out. And if you send it to me, it all comes to the same email inbox. So sending it to me at both places doesn't really help because it goes to the same email box. But this is something I will send an email to Scott about, and meanwhile I will close out of Thunderbird so that I don't get interrupted again. But never fear, Scott, I will check into your request and come up with a prescription for you from the doctor as you requested. Where was I before I got interrupted? Let's see. Oh, yes, spam! Interesting timing there that I got... I didn't get spam, Scott. I'm sorry. What you send me is never spam. Matter of fact, he said in that email that he was going to come up with a new graphic for me. I just love his graphics. If you want to go check out the blog right now, thecomputercurmudgeon.com, you'll see a Thanksgiving header that Scott did for me with a very bored-looking turkey. Even though he's being shot at, there's bullet holes behind him, and yet he's looking very bored. I think that's because turkeys are not very bright. They're actually very stupid creatures. I've heard stories that they can stare up at the sky and drown because of rain going into their mouth. I don't know if that's true. That may be one of those urban legends. But you know what? I'm really getting off topic here. I'm just kind of, oh, I don't know, stream of consciousness. Look at the sky. Look at the ceiling. Wow. Anyway, let's get back to what I was talking about, which is Russian spam. See, you guys over in Russia, let me give you a clue. We don't want your spam. We don't want your penny stocks. That's what I was going to mention before I got ding. You see, penny stocks. Would you buy a stock that you got in an email off the internet? If you would, you're dumber than you look. And I don't know what you look like, so how would I know? Anyway, that's it for this week. And we've gone so over the 30 minutes. Whoa. By 10 minutes and 53, 54, 55 seconds. Okay? Time just keeps going by. What can I say? I can say goodbye, I guess, because there's the music. It's coming in, fading in slowly. There it is. The official Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon theme song, is telling me it's time to go once again. So remember, until next week, stay safe on the internet, and the doctor is out of here.